This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is True Confessions of a Real Estate Investor, or It Ain't All a Bed of Roses, Baby. Well, you're probably wondering why in the world would I start with such a strange title for today's Fun Fact Friday podcast. Well, I have to say, this may not necessarily be the funnest Fun Fact Friday. In fact, what I'm about to share may hurt a bit. But first, let's make a few quick announcements. For our U.S. listeners, I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving Day, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and so forth. I don't mention it very often on here, but we have our nonprofit, Child Hope International, our Haiti mission, and we actually had a great Giving Tuesday, which is a big day that a lot of nonprofits do fundraising. So we had a great event, and we raised a lot of funds for the kids in Haiti. So that was really exciting for us. Besides this podcast, too, I also want to let you guys know I write a regular weekly blog article that's on our website. And these are articles that also help you in your real estate investing endeavors and efforts. And I just want to let you know that, they come out every week and they're on a whole ton of different topics. I also write for Bigger Pockets. I have a blog there, and you guys can catch some of those articles there. So check them out at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog for some of those articles of help. Now, one of those articles, I talked about December as a year end. Probably one of the best times of the year to actually get real estate deals because there's not a lot of activity going on. There's a lot of reasons why, but you can check it out on the website, and it lists a whole series of reasons why you can get some good deals in December if you're looking to buy. Also, December is year-end planning for those of us here at the Old Dog Nation. I've never really used that term before, so I don't know. Isn't that kind of overused? Anyway, maybe I'll call it the network. That kind of sounds kind of sinister, though. Okay, anyway, so this is the time that we compile all our numbers and start thinking about putting together your 2018 strategic plan. We'll be talking more about this in upcoming episodes here through the year end, and hopefully you guys will start, you know, really mapping out the plan you have for 2018 for your real estate efforts. Also, finally, you know, we talk about subscribing here. It's a great way, if you can go to iTunes, to get this podcast exactly when it comes out, when the episodes come out on Mondays and Fridays. Really helps out us as well, too. If you're there, you can give us some ratings and reviews, too. That'd be great. But also, just, I don't want to brag, but I think that's kind of what I'm doing here. But we recently were number 7 in the iTunes Business Investing category, just 5 clicks down from Dave Ramsey. Okay, yeah, that's going to happen again. Anyway, but gee whiz, I just thought that'd be interesting for you guys. Anyway, on with the show. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, I hope you know by now that it's really important that I be completely honest and transparent with all of you. One reason, if not the main reason I started this podcast, is to be a source of credible real estate investing information from someone who isn't selling something or not always looking for the upsell opportunity. and isn't afraid to tell you something negative about real estate investing in the fear that you might not buy my program or seminars or high-priced consulting service. I don't have those things. First up, I just, you know, want to say that I don't have all the answers. I am not the expert. In fact, in many ways, I'm still a student in the trenches, still learning the ropes in real estate investing like many of you. I share with you my wins and my losses in the hopes that I can prevent you from making a wrong move or a mistake that might cost you. But I also understand that the mistakes are part of the package. That's part of the educational process that you must go through. And it's something we don't like, but at the same time, we should embrace these challenges and these difficulties as part of the learning curve, where we're all learning to do real estate the right way eventually. Can we just get real here? Okay, I don't ever want to mislead or convey what real estate is and is not, okay? That's the reason, again, I'm having this podcast today, is I value transparency in others, and especially other businesses I deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I wouldn't expect any less from this show. I'm just a regular guy trying to make this thing work just like you. What you see is what you get, pimples and all. I'll share the wins as well as the losses. But before I get all gloom and doom on you, I'll be the first to clearly say that despite the challenges, I still think real estate investing is one of the best things, if not the best investment vehicle out there. And I have a long list of why I love this crazy world of buy and hold, rental properties, and cash flow. The top reasons why I love, and I guess you can find a lot of those articles and podcasts where I really will go into a list all the benefits of real estate investing. But you know, some of the things that really stand out are, one, you can control the results. You can set your own hours. You can set your own salary. It's relatively easy to learn. I would also say it's also a fairly safe investment that, you know, it's backed up by a tangible asset, which is more than a lot of stocks and other things out there that are really just, you know, your paper investments. You already know the basics. If you've purchased a home, and I think many of the people listening here have done that before, so you know what it's like to sign escrow papers and things like that. Not all that different in any phase of real estate investing. Upfront costs can be minimal. There's ways that you can enter into it for a very small amount, sometimes by leveraging seller financing or other people's money or other outside investments. Income is steady. I mean, it works on a monthly basis. So you have every time your tenants pay, those monthly checks come directly into you, and that's part of your monthly income. And you can invest from home. You can set up your own hours, work as much or as little as you want. And that's just to name a few of some of the benefits. But I also want to be realistic, and that's, again, the point of this this podcast. You're dealing with people, and the more properties you have, the more people you're dealing with. And the more properties you have, the more toilets and the more electrical systems and other issues that come with real estate investing. Property managers, sure, they can be a buffer, but they also can be part of the problem too. So you have to kind of take all of this at face value. What I'd like to do here is just to share a few of the realities and what I call here my true confessions of real estate investing that you need to be aware of going forward. Let's start with confession number one. It's not all a bed of roses, baby. Now, I know there are those of you out there saying, but why, Bill, what about the Ferraris and the bikini-clad supermodels that are going to be hanging out in my driveway? Well, I hate to break it to you guys, but I think the guys that are selling you those things are probably selling more marketing than anything else, okay? Not to say that there aren't those real estate investors that do have the Ferraris and the bikini-clad supermodels in their driveway. But I would say probably a more realistic, you know, ad, if somebody was going to do this, it'd be some guy, you know, sitting in a bathroom, you know, in some tiny little apartment with their arms wrapped around the toilet as they're pulling out tennis shoes and other things, heaven knows what, out of that toilet. And then turning toward the camera and saying, yep, I own this beautiful building. I'm a real estate tycoon. Well, that may not be the, you know, the true scenario, but you know, for some of you out there that have been doing this a while too, you kind of know that there are days and times when maybe that was a reality for you. Let's look at confession number two. The three key words in real estate are not location, location, location. They are patience, patience, patience. Things don't happen overnight unless you happen to enter into this world with this huge chunk of cash where you can come in and pay the high-priced experts to be able to do all the right things for you and what have you. But most of us need to work this thing. And those of us that are coming in, especially with modest budgets, you know, that it's something that takes time. You need to get your investments in order. When you purchase a property, you got to get that property humming and doing well and managed well before you go on to the next and leverage that property to acquire more. So it is a game of patience, and you got to work that and you got to understand that. Confession number three, bad property managers can break you. I can't say enough about this. I've been through my share of property managers. As an out-of-state investor, I'm totally dependent on property managers. Some of you are, you know, have buildings down the street and you still have property managers and you may not be managing them yourselves. And you realize the value of a good property manager. And what's important is if you have a bad manager, you need to let them go. And you need to let them go until you find someone who cares about your investment and is willing to work with you as a partner. This is a critical component of a successful real estate investing enterprise and getting those good, solid property managers in place. Confession number four, I work my butt off. And I will say right now that, as I mentioned earlier, I just got through saying you control your own hours. So there's no one to blame but myself on this one. The reason I'm working so hard is really because I had an aggressive goal. I want to acquire 1,000 units by 2020. I may be crazy, but that is where I'm set at. But the idea of if I work hard now and I get all this stuff done by 2020, I will hopefully be able to shift into some form of autopilot. And I'll explain that later in future episodes. But the idea of being able to step back and be able to let the properties generate from there with minimal amount of effort and involvement. Confession number five, your plans don't always turn out the way you would have hoped. Okay, yeah, after that last comment I just made, some of you are probably saying, Bill, yeah, you should listen to this one. Okay, keep in mind, there are always variables that you can't control. Now, I know I just got through saying you can control your outcome, but there are those factors that we can't control, things like interest rates, natural disasters like floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, the national and global, even local economies, lawsuits, just to name a few. But that's also why you have to develop plans B, C, D, etc. Confession number six, sometimes I have my I hate my rentals moments. And, you know, that doesn't happen frequently, but when it does, it's like, I'm so sick of evictions and vandalism and theft and tax increases and competitors coming into the area, knocking rents down so that I've got to, you know, adjust to that. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff sometimes that can hit you. But again, that's part of that learning process. Those are learning moments. Confession number seven. The real freedom comes when you have enough properties and income that you can A, not feel it so hard when a major repair happens, a flood hits, or they close the military base that supplies you with 50% of your tenants, or B, you make enough money that you can hire others to deal with the headaches while you lie back in the beach in Saint-Tropez in autopilot and let them deal with it. Ha ha, right, Bill. Okay, anyway, the bottom line here is this, and I would recommend this to those listening. How do you deal with those kinds of things? I recently had an episode where we talked about freedom numbers and the goal that you set. This is the amount of money I need to make each month to live comfortably. Well, I would say take that number and multiply it by two. Okay. That way, okay, if your goal is, you know, set, you know, to this is the amount you want to live on, double it so that when there are those shortfalls that you won't feel it as well. I think when you're running a little bit too close, sometimes people, they get the amount that they you know, set their mind on. Oh, wow, I got it. I can quit my job. They quit their job. And then all of a sudden, you know, somebody steals an air conditioner or something happens like that and you, boom, you're hit. And that leads us to confession number 8. What can go wrong will go wrong is Peter's principle, but I have the OD principle, which is not overdose. It's old dog principle. And that is, what can go wrong is something that you never anticipated. Okay. More things can and will happen that you can never really anticipate. Case in point, here's just a sample of something like that. Okay. So one of the first things I did is I bought properties in Memphis and Atlanta. I bought a bunch of turnkey properties, and I was very green and didn't know a lot about what I was doing. Got them at a great price. Let's zero in on Memphis here. The neighborhoods I thought were good. They weren't that great. I had trouble getting good tenants. I went through 3 property managers. My current property manager is great. We both agreed that we needed to zero in on Section 8 tenants for these properties. And, you know, Section 8 can be great. You know, the payments come in like clockwork every month. They're government funded. You know, the tenants have to be good. There's incentive there for them, or they'll be kicked out of the program that they had to wait 3 years to get into. Tenants are required to take care of the property. Yeah, it's a great solution for those hard to rent C-minus type properties. But it also has its problems. And I've had my share of them. I've had tenants walk out in the middle of their lease, trash the place, even though they waited 3 years to get in this program and could be kicked out. I've had these inspections that come up where they check the property, and I've had to pay thousands of dollars to do improvements to meet the qualifications. So I've had my share. But this latest one really hit me, and I get this notice from my property manager, and it says, the Housing Choice Voucher Program is funded through the federal government's continuing resolution. As a result, there is a potential funding shortfall for the remainder of 2017-2018 operating cycle, which may cause a delay in the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, providing our Housing Choice Voucher funds. So what does that mean? It means that I'm not going to be receiving any rental income for my properties in Memphis, okay, for December, maybe for January, maybe for February. And I can't kick out the tenants as long as they're paying their share of the rent due. So, you know, this is something like, wow, I never would have guessed that this would have happened. So, you know, there are the things like that that can happen that can throw you off, and you need to always be prepared. And again, I think some of the other suggestions I made may help you to deal with that. This is going to be fun to deal with. Yeah, right. So confession number 9 here, and this is the last one on my list here, and that is, real estate really is the best investment. You know, one of the great things about this show is I interview people all the time from all walks of life, from young guys to old dogs. And it's actually sometimes really encouraging me, especially when I'm having one of those bad rental property days. And I'll listen to these guys, and some of these guys that have been doing this for 40 plus years are still singing the praises of real estate investing. And I'm looking at my day, or I'm looking at this notice from the people that supply Section 8 payments here. And these guys actually kind of encourage me here. I've met people that complained about it, said, hey, I've been there, I've done that, managed properties. You know, they usually buy rentals, they manage it themselves, they get the calls 3 a.m. and all the other stuff, and they just come to hate it and they don't want anything to do with it. But, you know, again, I think it's being wise and looking at the long term. I think the trick is really not, you know, selling your properties all the time. I think what a lot of investors tend to do is they'll buy, especially with multifamily, they'll buy it, they'll sell it in 3 to 5 years, and then they buy another property, and they keep doing this. And it's like a full-time job. You're like a flipper. And that's fine. Yeah, that's fine for, especially if you're a younger guy, you know, and or gal, and you're trying to, you know, build up your portfolio. But I think there's a certain point where you just got to stop. And one of my favorite guests we had on is a guy named Samuel Freshman, and he really wrote the book on real estate syndication. And I asked him, I remember, you know, what was the biggest mistake you made? You know, what's your biggest regret, what have you? And he just looked at me and he said one word: selling. And it really hit me, you know, because I'm, you know, looking at these, you know, turning these properties over and leveraging to move to the next property and so forth. And his big regret was, you know, it was selling. He said, I wish I would have held on to every property I ever bought. And, you know, this is a guy who, you know, would buy a building in downtown LA for $1 million. So this kind of takes you back, you know, many years. I mean, you could buy a building for $1 million. He'd buy these old 1920 buildings and he'd sell it a couple months later for $2 million and say, wow, you know, this is great. Look at, I made this great money. But, you know, the building today is worth $100 million. And so he's kind of like, you know, looking at it. And so now he's still, the guy is in his, probably his late 80s, comes into work every day in his suit and tie, and he's still loving this. He's still doing it. And he's buying everything now to hold for the long term. And it's awesome to see that. Kind of share that with you because I think at the same time, you know, a lot of times we don't always know what to expect. We do our best and we try to, you know, to learn this thing as we go along. You know, this is sort of my let's get real confession list for you guys. And I know there's many more things that some of you guys could probably add on to it as well. But my point here is not to be negative, but to also say, don't be blind either going into real estate investing, that there are some challenges. You can mitigate these challenges by educating yourself, getting good advice, planning well, you know, listening to podcasts, networking with others. The things that I recommend in other episodes is, you know, get a mentor, network with people that you can learn from, write a strategic plan, review it, you know, work with that plan, revise it, try to stick by it as best you can. You know, real estate investing definitely will have its challenges. But overall, I still feel it's the best option out there for me, at least. It may not be for everybody, but for me, I think it's really the best thing out there. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website. And some of those articles I mentioned earlier as well are available at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you can access this podcast as well as all past podcasts at that same location. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.